Welcome to Sell Smarter, Sell Faster, a podcast dedicated to helping sales organizations grow. Each week, we discuss proven sales enablement strategies and real-life examples with experts and thought leaders from across industries. I'm your host, Danny Buckley, Vice President and General Manager at Lead G2, a sales performance agency. In this episode, we're diving into account-based marketing, or ABM. We're asking questions like, why is ABM a strategy worth the consideration of sales leaders? What are the hurdles that leaders can anticipate when acclimating to an ABM strategy? And how do you determine what accounts to even target in the first place? Joining me to help break it all down is Alisa Knoffel, Director of Sales at the Center for Sales Strategy. Alisa gets into some great points from her firsthand experience, like how it provides the perfect opportunity to build beautiful relationships with prospects, why a strong ABM strategy requires alignment between sales and marketing, and how to do that well, the role of technology in ABM, and lastly, how ABM can paint such a clear picture of where people are in the buying process, making it that much easier to extend your digital hand and nurture them. All right. Yay. I am really excited to be speaking with you today, Alisa. Welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Danny. Good to see you.
Yeah. And I'm excited that we're talking about account-based marketing, ABM today. You know, as we already mentioned, you're the director of sales here at Lead G2, but also our parent company, the Center for Sales Strategy, and the other division we have, Up Your Culture. So you're in charge of a lot of sales here. And I know that in recent, in the last year, you've put a lot, along with our marketing team, a lot of energy. We put budget into ABM, and it's something that we're all in on and we are really excited about, and we've learned a lot. So we get to dive into your specific experience as the director of sales, because I think that's what's really interesting for our audience to hear from the sales perspective. So that's what we're going to talk about. Sound good?
Great. Awesome. Thank you.
Cool. Okay. So let's jump in. And just to start, tell us why you think ABM is a good strategy. Like, why were you on board for this when we talked about doing it as our approach for helping you hit your revenue goals? What do you love about it? Why do you think others should possibly consider it? Just kind of what's your initial thinking on that?
I think you'll probably hear this theme across all of my answers, which is if you can take those wonderful targets, those businesses you really want to win that you've identified, they're the best target. We have access to the right person. We know we have solutions that fit what they need, and nurture that relationship from the time you begin to market to them all through the sales process, by almost kind of super serving them and really serving them information they need, want in a targeted and custom plan. It's just a beautiful way to begin a relationship for a prospect. And I think that's a really smart way to spend your time and money. So ABM is all about that, really focusing on a target piece of business and doing everything you can to win it.
Yeah. Love it. Great. So let's talk about what you've learned so far. And I know we're still learning a lot, but what do you think will be helpful to pass along to other sales leaders that are thinking about ABM or embarking on it? What are some of the key things that you've learned so far?
We have learned a lot. Yeah. I think that we've made some mistakes, which is wonderful because you only learn through kind of constantly evaluating. So I actually made some notes on some steps that if I was telling a director of sales, you know, if you're going to embark on this adventure, some things to look at, here's some things that I'd look at. So here are my thoughts. First of all, the first step is you really do need to evaluate your sales process first. How are you handling every step in the sales process? That really starts with marketing. What is marketing doing at the top, middle, and bottom of the funnel to start to attract those potential buyers? What does the handoff look like between marketing and sales? How are you defining what a qualified lead is in marketing and in sales? And then when that salesperson gets that warm marketing qualified lead, what's the expectation for them to take them through to the close? And I think a lot of organizations think, I'm going to sell or I'm going to market, but they don't step by step put a plan together for each step from the very beginning. And the very beginning isn't the minute they call you. The very beginning is the minute they're aware of you as a company or they think about you. So I think that's really important. What does that outreach look like at every step? What's the expectation? And also, how are you going to hold your salespeople from a sales side accountable to those steps to make sure they're following the process? because how many times do you see a marketing director say, well, I give sales qualified leads and they never close anything. And then on the other side, you see sales managers say, we never get qualified leads. So I think defining that process really reduces a lot of that friction. The second step is making sure your salespeople are using a CRM. They're documenting their process. So as a sales manager, you can go in and see what the steps are that they're taking. If they got a prospect or a lead, how are they following? How are they communicating? Are they communicating in the cadence that you have the expectation for that sales process? So I think that's important. The other opportunity is really to identify bottlenecks, right? So if you have a salesperson that is great getting a first appointment, but they can't seem to move to a close, that will give you a lot of intelligence around it. The other big thing I've learned is you need to make sure you have a really good target account list. I know we'll probably get into this later, but having a good target account list is crucial. And a target account list doesn't mean every person you ever wanted to do business with, which is one of the mistakes we made. You know, we want all the business, right? Well, you really need to be more focused and targeted in your list. And then knowing how to communicate, you know, what are you going to say? How are you going to say it? And make sure that the experience for the prospect is seamless and clean from the minute they get a marketing message all the way through to closing a piece of business.
I love it. Those are some really good takeaways. You have learned a lot. and I love to making sure your sales team is using your CRM. I mean, everything you mentioned makes sense and is important, but I feel like we always come back to that. And almost any sales strategy, marketing strategy is only going to work if you really are tracking these things and you're not letting a lack of technology or the lack of use of technology get in your way of like slowing things down. So I really like that you emphasize that for sure.
Yeah, it's so important. I think old thinking for salespeople is if I use a CRM, then my manager is micromanaging me. I think it's the opposite. Frankly, if you use a CRM effectively, your manager doesn't have to ask you when was the last time you spoke with XYZ prospect because they can see it. Yeah. You have so much more intelligence. It also gives you a tremendous amount of intelligence on the other side. What's the prospect doing? If they're not engaged, if they're not converting, if they're not reading your messages, if they're not visiting your site, if the information you're sharing with them isn't valuable to them, that's really important information to have. It keeps you from wasting time on prospects that aren't really, you're not hitting them where they need to be hit.
Yep. Love it. Great. So you touched on marketing to sales alignment a little bit in some of your tips just now, but we know that it's always important, right? We're big believers of it. We teach it here at Legy too. But what we've seen is that with ABM, it's incredibly pertinent. And so tell us a little bit about your experience with kind of the marketing and sales alignment. What has that meant to you? What does that look like? And what do you just feel like has to kind of be in alignment to get this right?
So I feel really lucky. You know, our director of marketing, we have the same goal. We really do want the same thing, which is she wants marketing to provide qualified leads to sales so we can win business. We're on the same page. We're also very transparent with each other. So we have a lot of calls and had a lot of calls from the beginning about what was working, what wasn't working, what our frustrations were. And we've had frustrations in this process. It hasn't been one where everything's great and we did that wonderful. We've really had some frustrations along the way with how does this work or are we defining this the right way? So I really have appreciated the communication, the constant communication, but also how critical is maybe not the right word, but how much we've critiqued each other on, you know, how are you looking at this? How am I looking at this? So we really do push each other, I think, to get better in a really positive environment. So I think it's important that there's a mutual respect from sales and marketing. You have to make sure you're defining the important things. So don't look at vanity metrics.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't really know what you want to measure, but let's be really clear. You don't have to measure everything, but it does matter how many qualified leads come in and it does matter how many appointments you get and it does matter how much business is sold. Like that's why we're all here, right? So I really appreciate the fact that we're on the same page about that and that we're very good about talking a lot about what's working and what's not. So alignment is really, frankly, about respect and communication and having a goal and then holding yourself accountable to it.
Yes. And, you know, I think an important thing for folks listening to think about is Often we go into some big new strategy or plan or campaign or whatever it might be. And it's like, okay, we're going to get aligned. We're going to align marketing and sales for this. And what I think you're speaking to, what I've seen as being someone part of this process, obviously with you, is that we already had that alignment, and that's what's really allowed us to be successful. So if you're not already working on your mark, you know, your head of marketing, your head of sales, having a good working, transparent, like healthy relationship, if that doesn't already exist, then it's going to be a little bit of an uphill battle. So I really recommend to folks, get on that, make that part of your culture and your process. Cause it's only going to benefit you when you're doing new things like this.
I think it is part of our culture too. I think that because Shay and I report to the same person.
Yep.
You know, his goal is for us to be successful, and it's never a situation of you or sales or marketing. We're never pitted against each other. We really do work as a team. We really do want the same thing. We really do want to work hard. And I really do appreciate the fact that we can share our, you know, when something great happens, we're excited, but we can also share our frustrations and that really didn't work out how we thought, or are we looking at the right thing? So, so spot on. You just have to have a good working relationship, but also push back, right?
Having
a good working relationship doesn't mean you always agree. It just means that you work around the challenges.
Yep. Love it. Great. So speaking of challenges, you know, there's a lot that we've learned, and some of that is like overcoming hurdles and different challenges with ABM and with doing something new that's a little different than how we've done things before. So tell the sales leaders and business leaders who are listening, what are some potential hurdles they might encounter when adopting an ABM strategy? What have you come across, and what do you think they should maybe plan for or anticipate?
Takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time to understand what technology you want to use, how it's going to work with your CRM, what are you going to measure, who's going to be responsible for what. So almost an order of operations. And if you're trying to learn it and do it at the same time, we talk about this a lot. If you're trying to build the plane when you're flying, and it's going to take you twice as long. So having good advisors, asking the right questions, having a process and plan in place is critical. Making sure that there's someone that's holding you accountable every week. So where are we this week? What are we looking at? Because it's easy to get overwhelmed in the data and the information, or to go down a rabbit hole and chase the wrong thing. So I really encourage everyone before they start to be realistic about what their team's capabilities are. A lot of leaders think we can do it all, or we don't need to pay the money to hire a company to do XYZ because we can do it. And what happens is you fast forward 6 months and the team's burned out. They still aren't experts in it. They haven't really accomplished the goal they wanted to, and they've spent more money than they would have spent if they had hired an advisor or counselor or someone to do it. So that's the key. The other thing that Matt Sunshine, who I report to, my boss, and I guess all of our bosses, always says is you need to know your numbers. As a sales leader, you've got to know your numbers. You need to know what your average account is. You need to know what your business goal is, the financial goal for the accounts that you're going to go after, so that when you're trying to budget for ABM, how much money do we want to spend in ABM? You really know what the return on that is going to be. And he talks to me all the time about, you got to know your numbers. No sales leader that's effective is effective if you don't know your numbers. And that, to all of you sales leaders out there, you've got to know what those numbers are so you can truly measure if it's working or not.
Yeah. Great. Love it. And I think what that all ties back to what you're saying is like having a expert either in-house or externally that is able to know the numbers, is able to expedite this process and ensure that you're not spending too much time trying to learn, like you said, while you're, you know, building the plane while you're flying it. So I love that. Really kind of, just like not making this harder than it needs to be. There are experts out there.
It's cheaper to hire someone who knows what they're doing than to try and learn it yourself. If you can hire a partner, you know, we always talk about sort of, you know, do it with me or do it for me. And I think that if you can have a partner that can really focus on the things they're good at so that your sales team can focus on selling and your marketing team can focus on attracting, it just makes it so much easier.
Yeah. So we know that account-based marketing is all about you know, those target accounts, right? It's about account-based. It's in the name. and I think some people forget that, right? That it's not a mass media marketing. It's not casting the widest net advertising. There's a time and a place for that kind of stuff. This is more about choosing high quality accounts and targeting those folks in a very strategic way. So tell us, how do you determine what accounts to target and what does that process look like for you?
So I always have a list of 25 dream companies to work with, right? And I determine those companies personally, and then I ask our team to do the same. They have to have the dollar fit. They have to be able to invest the amount of money that it costs for the solution that we're looking for. We have to have access to that person. We have to have done our research. We have to have a valid business proposition. So we go through a good bit of criteria to determine initially who our target list is going to be. Are they a good fit for our business? And so based on all of that criteria, we narrow down a list. But the important thing with target lists is you can't have a huge list because your salespeople can't work 250 target accounts. It's a nice idea, but if you want to really do a beautiful job of creating an experience for a prospect, which is what account-based marketing is, to really kind of, I like to call it surprise and delight them. We want to create an experience in ABM where the prospect turns around and constantly sees a value in the connection that we're making with them to help them solve their biggest business challenges. That's our responsibility, or that's at least what we see our responsibility at CSS and Lead G2 and Up Your Culture is. We want to solve that challenge. And that's not always a one size fits all. And so customizing your approach based on the target and your solution makes the most sense. So we take a lot of time now to look and say, who are the biggest opportunities for us and who do we want to wow?
Yeah. Great. Very important. Such an important step.
We didn't do that at first, mind you.
Yeah.
At first we said, you know, let's have everyone. But I think that was a wonderful lesson for us.
Yeah. Agreed. So let's shift to talking about technology because we believe in technology and we are a Rollworx partner. We use Rollworx. So tell us a little bit about your experience using Rollworx and what you just feel like technology has, the role it has played in ABM, especially for you on the sales side of things.
I love Rollworx because of the HubSpot integration. And I think that there is a learning curve for sure. You know, if you haven't used that integration before, you need to figure out what you're looking at, how often you're going to look at the information. You can get a lot of vanity information where you notice that there's a company that's huge that's come to your website once, and the natural salesperson in all of us wants to immediately call on every person in the organization because they came to your website, and that's not realistic, right? But the amount of intelligence that you can get from using a tool like Rollworx and really rolling it up effectively into HubSpot, I absolutely love. You can't do ABM without technology. You just can't, or you can, but it's a long play. Yeah. We had some challenges and just some kinks in how to set things up and how to approach targeting and focusing and what keywords we wanted. So there's a ramp up with everything else. It's almost like whenever you're taking a trip and you're sitting at the gate in the airplane and then you get taxi and then you get to the runway. There is a process to really learn it. But now that we're getting it under our belt, the amount of intelligence that we have to follow the best prospects that we have, I think is compelling. I love the idea that we can market to them the way they need to be marketed to and in a way that hopefully isn't creepy, but is value-based on what they're looking for. The other thing is that there's data out there, right? So it's just another reminder, no matter what tool you use, you have to have a clean CRM. You need to get all the junk out of it. You need to make sure you're really paying attention to the data that you're putting in and that you're getting out. And just like everything else, you've got to look at the right things. But technology is important. We've learned a lot from Rollworx. I think we have a lot more to learn on the sales side.
And just for those listening, I want to be clear that the one of the key pieces of data that we really are accessing is intent, right?
Like, well, there's intent, but there's also the following of the journey stages, right?
Yeah,
a journey stage in Rollworx would be what we call in the deal stages, how an account is progressing through the sales process. And so accounts progress through a marketing process, but also a sales process. So if you've targeted well, then the hope is that the marketing efforts are moving you closer to a sale. And the intent data is incredible too. You can get so much intelligence from that. There's a lot of data. And so the challenge sometimes can be, there's a lot of data. What do you look at?
Exactly. Great. I just want to make sure everyone listening kind of knew what we were, some of the key pieces of the technology and what it does. So
it's excellent.
A lot of data, a lot of intelligence on intent, on where to find people, but then also, like you said, tracking the impact of marketing on the sales process. So that's great. So speaking of, those are some benefits, right? The data. What are some additional benefits? What have you seen that maybe that you didn't even expect with ABM, with the technology, with whatever it might be? What have you seen that you've been kind of excited about?
I love seeing what people are consuming, right? Mm. So it's really helpful to me as we try and be as relevant as possible to prospects by category or by job detail, what information are people really gravitating towards? So that's incredibly helpful to me. You know, we get a lot of insight into that. I'm also really interested in what people are searching for. And sometimes you think you're being very specific and you find you're not. And so sometimes just the terminology or the way people are searching for information is helpful. I also feel like you get a lot of information about what's happening within the organization. If they, you know, you get information on if there's a news spike or what they're reading or what earnings data is happening so that you can begin to understand an organization more. So I think that's important. There's just a lot of really great information and it syncs so nicely with HubSpot and the reports are lovely. I have a gazillion reports of which some of them I'm like, why do I have this report? But it's, you know, you can build a lot of reports.
Yeah. Great. So lots of benefits with getting new data that's helping you in the sales process, even broader understanding of your prospects, of the buying process. So just a lot of that. And I could sit and talk about this all day, as with many of these topics, but we're going to wrap up. So I just want to ask you, Elisa, is there anything else that you want to share that you think would be valuable to those listening that we maybe haven't covered yet?
I think that one of the really important things with ABM is it really does give you a broader understanding of where prospects are in the buying process.
Yeah.
So everyone's not ready to buy today. There is a reason why people don't call salespeople right away. They're doing all their homework online, right? And they're researching it. So I think it gives us a much better understanding of how prospects are buying and what they're looking for and how to speak to them. So I think that's important. But I also think it's really important to make sure that you're meeting buyers where they are and kind of taking them. One of my colleagues says, taking them with putting your digital hand out and taking them through the process, right? So kind of nurturing them through the process. So I think that's really important. But how also can you add value to a prospect so they become a customer?
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you, Elisa, for joining me today and for sharing your experience. And maybe we'll get together and talk again in a year and see what else you've learned about this. You know, I feel like there's a lot that comes along the way. And so I just appreciate your time. And for those listening, you can connect with me or Elisa, our contact info in the show notes. And so thanks for joining. And looking forward to seeing all of you again on the next episode of Sell Smarter, Sell Faster. Until then, happy selling, everybody. Thanks for joining us on Sell Smarter, Sell Faster. If you like what you've heard, click that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Be sure to visit our website, sellsmartersellfaster.com, where you can find even more helpful sales enablement resources.